Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. Please be seated. How many of you have seen the movie Home Alone? Anybody seen that movie? Well, it's kind of a nice Christmas movie. It's about a family that is going off on a vacation, and they're going to take a plane ride to their destination. And so as they prepare to leave, the mother counts up all the kids to make sure everybody's accounted for. And so they get in the cars and drive off to the airport, and they get off on the flight, and they soon discover that they left behind 10-year-old Kevin. Well, Kevin, of course, discovers that he's all alone, and he does what a 10-year-old boy would do when he has full reign of the house and no restrictions of parents or anything like that. And so he just has a great time for a while, but then he realizes that he's sad because his parents are not there. And then, of course, he faces some dangerous situations with some burglars that want to come in and take some things from his house. So Kevin is really facing a lot of challenges at this time. And so he wakes up on Christmas morning hoping that maybe his family has come back and they're still not there, and he realizes that, in fact, he's at home alone on Christmas. Some of you may relate to that. You may have experienced a time when you've been home alone at Christmas, when you've been by yourself. Maybe you've lost a loved one or a spouse, or you've lost a parent, or maybe you've been separated by many miles from family members, and so you know what it's like to feel like you're alone. And certainly there are many people who have to spend Christmas alone, and it's a difficult time for them. The good news of the Christmas story, however, is that God doesn't intend for us to spend our time at home alone. Our gospel lesson today is one for which we just heard a quotation from Isaiah the prophet, which says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And so we have the promise that God is going to be with us in the difficulties of our lives. The story of the Bible provides much encouragement for us, and it shows us that not only God has promised his presence for us, but he's also provided others to be with us during our times of loneliness and times of need. When the angel appeared to Mary and Joseph and announced the news that Mary was going to have a child, that presented some incredible challenges. Mary had to figure out what she was going to tell her parents, her family. She was going to have to try to explain how an angel had told her how all this was going to take place. And she was really dreading how she was going to have to do that. Once Joseph got an explanation of Mary's pregnancy, and he still faced the challenge of being her husband, and yet realizing that he was not the father of her child. Certainly Mary and Joseph also had to face the fact that the child in her womb was, in fact, going to be the Son of God. So Mary and Joseph were facing huge challenges here, and now while they were assured that God was with them, I believe that they also were experiencing maybe a deep sense of loneliness as well. This kind of news isn't something that's easily shared with family and friends. It's not the kind of thing that people really understand. So in many ways, Mary and Joseph were really alone at this time. Now, as we keep reading the gospel story, another part of the gospel in Luke, we see that not only did God promise to be with them, but he also provided someone to help them along in this difficult part of their journey. And so as we see in the rest of the New Testament, God encourages them by providing someone to walk along with them in this journey. In Luke's Gospel in chapter 1, we read these words. "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." A few days later, it says in a few verses, Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. So as soon as Mary heard the news that she was pregnant, the first person she thought about going to see was Elizabeth. Elizabeth was her cousin, in fact. And Elizabeth had become pregnant by a very unusual circumstance as well. You see, Elizabeth had not had any children before. And so, of all the women Mary must have known, Elizabeth made the most sense for her to go see, because Elizabeth would have had the greatest chance of understanding Mary's situation. You see, Elizabeth was an older woman, and she had not had any children before, and everyone, including her, assumed that she would never have children. And so children were seen in those days as a blessing from God, and she and her husband longed for and prayed for having the opportunity to have a child. And so when the angel tells Zechariah that his wife was going to have a son, and that that son was going to grow up to be a prophet, Zechariah was a bit skeptical. And so when Elizabeth became pregnant, it seemed very strange that this was going to happen. But the baby that was ultimately born to her grew up to be what we know, of course, as John the Baptist. John the Baptist was called to preach repentance, calling people to repent of their sins, and then to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And so when Mary finds herself miraculously pregnant, there's only one woman that she thinks to turn to. That, of course, is Elizabeth, her cousin. God could have chosen any other woman to give birth to John the Baptist, but he chose Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, because they were related. So when Mary got the news of her pregnancy, she would not be alone. She would be with Elizabeth to not only help Elizabeth through her pregnancy, but also to receive the reassurance from Elizabeth about her own situation. And certainly, old Elizabeth needed help in giving birth to her first child, and Mary would be that one to be there to help her in that process. The village where Elizabeth and Zechariah lived was just a few miles, coincidentally, away from the town of Bethlehem, where ultimately Jesus was going to be born. Now, what about Joseph? Remember, Joseph heard the news of the angel that he was going to be a father, but he realized at the same time that he was not the father of this child. The Bible doesn't say it, but I believe God provided some help for Joseph along the way of this journey as well. Joseph wasn't going to be home alone, dealing with this situation alone. God helped him to come to terms with a sudden change in his life, and so neither Mary nor Joseph had to deal with this situation alone. They didn't face the obstacles of an unplanned, unexpected, and unexplainable pregnancy all by themselves. God certainly did not abandon them, and was there to help them through an uncertain future. The truth of this part of the Christian story is that God never intends us to be home alone. God is always with us. While sometimes circumstances may cause us to feel alone, the promise of God is that He is always going to be with us, that He is always there with us. God provides also people to help support us during our times of loneliness or our times of loss, during our times of difficulty as well. God provided someone for Mary, but Mary had to make the effort to go to that person, to her cousin Elizabeth. Mary had to make the decision to seek out someone for help. She had to make the journey to be with her. God provides us with people in life, and we have to be willing to reach out to them. So often we think to ourselves, well, I don't want anybody to see how I'm suffering. Or I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. Or I don't want anybody to feel like that they have to try to react to me in some way. But many times that's based upon our own failing, our own fears. When it comes to seeking out the help of someone, it involves some risk. Mary, for example, took a risk to reach out to Elizabeth. She didn't know whether Elizabeth was going to reject her and send her away, or whether she would welcome her. She had to reach out to Elizabeth in order to receive the help that she needed. Joseph took a risk to take Mary as his wife as well. He took a risk because he knew that people would reject him, would make fun of him, would ridicule him, and maybe even turn their backs on him because of his decision to be with Mary. It's risky to reach out to someone, but we have to take that risk because God created us to be in relationship with one another. God created us because He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He promises to never leave us nor forsake us. When Kevin's family forgot him at Christmas, at their Christmas vacation,
he was sad. He was afraid, lonely. But the promise is that God will never forget us. I heard many in this church say that one of the things that's helped them through the loss of a loved one or through a difficult time was the fact that they had friends in the church that they could rely upon, they could come to, and that would come to them for help and support. They certainly testify to the fact that beyond God's presence, the presence of brothers and sisters in Christ really helped so much in their difficult time. Sometimes just being with someone makes all the difference in the world. Sometimes we need to be available also to our brothers and sisters in Christ when we know that they're going through a difficult time, and maybe not even wait for them to come to us, but to go to them to see if we can offer to them some sort of help. St. Paul said that we are to bear one another's burdens. One of the greatest things we can do for someone is to be available to them, to go to them, to offer to be with them during their difficult times. And not just to be with them, but to offer to be with them. They may not want our presence at that time, but certainly as we offer to be with them, we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have any answers. Just being with them many times is one of the greatest things that we can do to help them in their time of need. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. So God offers to comfort us and to be with us through the difficulties in our lives, through the times when we are alone. Just as Mary had to seek out Elizabeth during her time of need, we are to seek the Lord during our time of need. And we seek the Lord in His help through prayer and through the comfort that we can receive through His Word as we read it and as God speaks to us through it. St. Paul experienced the comfort of God Himself. Listen to the words that he shared with Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Paul realized that the Lord was there to help him not only through the difficulties of this life, but also to carry him safely, ultimately, to his kingdom in heaven. We're told as Christians that the struggles and the loneliness that we experience are really all part of our earthly existence in this life. But they're nothing in comparison with what awaits us, with the love, the joy, the peace, and the ultimate fulfillment that awaits us in heaven. So, as we prepare for Christmas, I want to encourage you, if you're feeling lonely at this time of year, if you're feeling deserted, if you're feeling like no one cares, remember that you have someone who cares deeply for us, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. We can turn to Him for all the comfort that we need, but we can also turn to our brothers and sisters in Christ and to reach out to them if we have a need, if we're just needing to be with someone, to contact them and ask them for help, to take that risk. And then also to be available to our brothers and sisters who we might see that has a need in their life that we can go to and offer our presence and our comfort to them. And finally, to remember the words of Jesus Christ when He said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the ages. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that You have promise to be with us, and even during those times where we may not feel Your presence, we may not feel that You are with us, we can rely upon Your promises that You are there. And Lord, that we can receive comfort from Your presence and comfort from Your Word as You speak words of encouragement to us through that Word. And Lord, we also can rely upon our brothers and sisters to provide us a sense of comfort and love and support. So Lord, we thank you that you have not left us home alone, but you provided for us during our time of need. Lord, help us to trust in you during those difficult times in our lives. I ask this in your name. Amen.